for Biden on the domestic front with the passing of a $3.5 trillion budget resolution, but are they counting their losses in Afghanistan? Ed Blakely is a former Washington insider now living in Sydney, Australia. My name is Sean Britton from the radio station 2SER. Find us each and every week wherever you find good podcasts at US of Ed. And check out Ed's other podcast as well, Pacific Conversations. Latest chat out this week with Dr. David Leaf regarding the fight over assisted dying. House Democrats have passed a $3.5 trillion budget, as well as advanced the bipartisan infrastructure bill, nutted out with Republicans, in a big win for Biden's political agenda. However, centrists in the party are still looking to trim back on some of the spending in this budget, looking to have the vote by September 27th. Ed, what's going on?
Well, now we use this notion called reconciliation. The reconciliation means that the House vote sent forward a bill that has to be reconciled with the Senate bill. And the Senate sent the House a bill that they have to reconcile. So they'll put these both together. And the reconciliation conferences are ones where they have to make sure they don't just count the numbers, but they count the noses. That who will vote for taking this bridge out of Mississippi in order to make the numbers work. And finally, they get down to something, the Congressional Budget Office and all the nitpickers say, this will work. We got enough numbers of members of Congress, and the Senate is what counts here. In the Senate, if one person drops off, it's dead. In the House, if two people drop off, it's dead. So they go back and forth to make sure they got it all right. And then it's basically passed. Once people say this, you might as well not even go and cast your ballot because it's all agreed to. There'll be some back and forth in here. And I think what's going to happen is this $3 trillion is going to be spread over more years. Now, that's good for the economy. It's good for Biden. As I said, having $1 trillion in infrastructure, now another $3 trillion on top of that, this horse could be choked. So by stretching this out, it will probably dampen inflation fears. It will increase the possibility of doing it right, as we've experienced here, like with the NBN, which went out on me the other day. If you don't do it right, you might as well not do it. So spreading it out gives you an opportunity to do that. And also the Republicans like to spread it out so they can take credit for a long time if they ever get back in without having to have voted for it, because they don't want anything to happen after that. So I think all in all, this is going to work to everyone's benefit. There are pieces. These bills are big. They're a couple of thousand pages long, and there are pieces in there like dental care for my grandma that have to go.
Yeah, look, we've spoken a lot about some of those bigger pieces, you know, the individual components like the expansion of the social safety net, education, public housing, clean energy. One section that does intrigue me, though, that's come out, at least in my view this week, is the allocation of $107 billion for the Judiciary Committee with instructions to address lawful permanent status for qualified immigrants. Just anything on that one?
That probably will be thrown out because people want a bigger bill that covers everybody. But I don't know what to say about that. I think this is a shot in the dark, and I suspect it'll go, but Ocasio-Cortez and others want this to show their constituents that they're doing something about this immigration issue. This is a dreamer bill, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
And it has nothing to do with money, so the House and the Senate secretaries will say, this doesn't have anything with money, out.
I just want to point out, look, as you pointed out in your answer before there, that the way this is being done is to allow Democrats to approve the budget resolution without Republicans. And nothing unexpected about that, but they're still having to skirt around to avoid filibusters and the like. I mean, anything further on that front?
No, I don't think. No, this is reconciliation. There's no filibuster on a reconciliation.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not allowed. But it requires a full majority of the Senate and a full majority of the House. Money bills cannot be filibustered. Thank God.
Taliban have given the U.S. an August 31st deadline to get their people out of the country. Up to 1,500 Americans still attempting to leave Afghanistan, according to the U.S. State Department. What's happening?
Well, I think they'll get most of them out. And the others, the Taliban, would you want some ugly Americans in your country? I don't think so. So they'll get every Afghan they can out. And there's some white Americans with blonde hair. They'll let them stay behind, and the Afghans will take them to the airport and get them out of there. I want to say, in defense of the United States is busting its ass. And another country begins with A, U.S., is sitting on its ass. And I think we in Australia should be ashamed of ourselves. All the people who've watched our back are being treated like nothing. In all the rhetoric about them having gotten a few thousand out does not cover over the fact that the effort has been poor.
Yes, unfortunately, I would have to agree. Just in case you're keeping score, though, still in the US, Senator Lindsey Graham has said Biden should be impeached for his handling of the withdrawal of US troops in Afghanistan, saying he's abandoned thousands of allied Afghans and he's going to abandon American citizens because he's capitulated to that deadline I just mentioned there. Anything to add, Ed?
It's not an impeachable offense.
Yeah. Just on, sort of still on Afghanistan, Vice President Kamala Harris has insisted that America is still a world leader and takes that position very seriously during a visit to Singapore this week. Now, this is sending a message on Afghanistan, but very obviously sending a message to China as well. I don't know, Ed, any man who says I am the king is no true king. Does this one still ring true at the moment?
Have you seen the king's clothes? The United States is marching naked, but everyone wants to see that naked man in the streets, because if he's uncovered and is harmed, the whole world's in danger. It's not so much that China's a threat. I think the Chinese have a very clear plan to victory, and that is seize the global economy, not drop bombs. They don't want to drop bombs on anybody. To the best of my knowledge, China hasn't, since the 16th century, ventured outside of its borders for anything of what it perceives as the borders. You can say, well, what about those countries around them, like Tibet? But Tibet was part of China at one time. Taiwan's part of China. Hong Kong's part of China. Their notion, and it's very hard for them to even control that space, but you have to feed that space, and what they want to do is feed that space. So I think the war in the future is an economic war with China, not a physical war.
And a few bits and pieces on COVID this week. For one, the FDA has given official thumbs up to the Pfizer COVID vaccine this week. A lot of critics of the vaccination rollout had used this one as kind of an excuse as to why they weren't getting it or didn't think people should get it. But unsurprisingly, I don't think this news has changed a lot of minds.
Well, they say 30% of people who have not been vaccinated were using that along with other things related to the vaccines as excuse, and a half of them now say they'll take it. I have two views of this. I want to, like in horse racing, I want to bet on the favorite and bet on an also run. My bet is that if you need cover from your friends and neighbors, you'll use this to go and get the vaccination because you're scared shitless. What we know about getting the vaccination is the vaccination protects you from not going to the hospital. It doesn't protect you from COVID. And we know that Delta, if you get it, you don't need the hospital. You call the undertaker. In the old A type, there are a lot of people we've seen on television and so forth who stayed home for 2 weeks and survived it. That is not true with Delta. There's a low rate of survivability, but even if you survive, the damage to your lungs and the rest is really horrific. So there's a high rate of survival and non-damage and non-long-term COVID with A. But with Delta D, that's changing quickly. And even New Zealand is in trouble. Delta is a different disease, and the only thing that slows it down is a vaccination. So I think my calculus is that people will find other reasons to take either the Pfizer or the new Novavax, which is built on a slightly different platform, to get a vaccine to keep from dying. Unless you want to die, of course.
Well, Donald Trump was actually, the story floating around was he was booed at a rally for suggesting supporters take the vaccine. I've seen a lot of weird blowback and weirder conspiracy theories online about that. And, well, just a lot of states are realizing, obviously, a lot of Republicans realizing the danger of anti-vaxxers.
Well, the anti-vaxxers have now become a danger to the states. The people who were supporting the anti-vaxxers thought they would be great supporters of them for being anti-vaxxers and would vote for them and support their political ideas. What they found is the anti-vaxxers want to take everybody down, including the ones that get their attention. So in Florida, the Florida governor has been a great supporter of no mask, anti-vax, and so forth. His polls are going down because of even the not maskers think he's not tough enough to stop the school boards, et cetera, because the courts are overturning everything. But also now you have the parents riled up and others, some of whom were mildly anti-vaxxers, but they don't want their kids hurt, against him. I think the new lie movement is in a very difficult position. You know, when you tell a lie, you have to tell more lies. And they don't have anything to say. I learned a very early good lesson in politics when I was running and working for a mayor. He said, "Ed, it's potholes." "What do you mean? I want to build a new port." No, mate. If you tell the citizens you're going to fix the potholes in front of their house and clean the streets, you will win the election. Joe Biden is fixing the potholes. Argument that something didn't happen that should have happened and somebody should be king that isn't king, it's not a pothole. So the Republicans are in danger of being tied to ideas, but not potholes, real fixable things.
Mentioned Trump a moment ago, and I just wanted to flag the Arizona recounts on the results of the 2020 election is nearly at a close, supposedly, at long, long last. Unclear as what's gonna actually come of this recount, because it's been such a widely acknowledged catastrophe, just an absolute clown show. But the Republican, you know, the Republicans, even those that try to say so, they get pretty well shouted down. And look, I would have thought the air was pretty well out of these towers, except tires, except for the absolute fateful. But anything to add?
I think there's something here. One way for them to cover their rears is to say this was still stolen. We had all the proof, but they have somehow absconded this from us. So this is another thing the state is doing, the deep state is doing to us. So stay tuned. Or come out with something that they found X number of votes, but they're unable to prove it. No matter what happens is they bring it to a close and the clown show can't find another venue. This was a very bad strategy in the first place, because whenever you put up, you got to shut up. And they should have stayed in behind and said, well, clearly this conspiracy goes on, people announcing Biden as the president, and we're against it, and we just can't do voter recounts and things like this. But don't go and do something that you're going to fail at. And that's why their constituents are turning on them. Every one of those people, including Green, have now got, and Gates, have now got the people in the rooms booing them and Trump, because they don't have a trick. The magic trick is gone. And Trump probably will stay away from any more public appearances, because the smallest booing and the next ones, he'll be done.
In some good news for voting rights, though, North Carolina judges have ordered the restoration of voting rights for thousands of people with felony convictions in what's been called the largest expansion of voting rights in North Carolina since the 1965 Voting Rights Act. How do you think this one feeds into the bigger picture, Ed?
Doesn't. North Carolina's been drifting in that direction for a long time. Florida got voting rights for ex-felons. It didn't make much of a difference at all. I think getting the ex-felons to vote is a very good thing. The important thing is getting them to be good citizens in the first place. And it's good for morale. There may be a counter movement going on here among the states that want to do the right thing, like North Carolina, these cusp states, you know, Georgia and North Carolina and so forth, that used to be red and are now turning blue, with them becoming more aggressive with their voting rights to almost counter all the stuff that's being done in the other states. There are 14 states that are trying to put up these new bills and the like. Texas, as you know, is one of the biggest ones. But in Pennsylvania and other places, this is really hurting them because what they're doing is making it hard for their own voters to vote. When you start messing around with mail-in balloting, rural citizens are disenfranchised. Blacks live in the cities. Not a problem.
And just finally, to end on, I guess, a positive note, the Paralympics seem to be proceeding well so far. Ed, anything to add?
The Afghanistan is participating in the Paralympics, both men and women. As I understand, the Taliban allowed them to leave the country. But of course, they're not going back to their country. And I'll bet there will be more people from other countries who are in these Paralympics who do not return to their home countries, like Belarus, etc. So the news here is some people who have one disadvantage, they turn that disadvantage into an advantage and leave the place that they think will do them harm in the future.
Mm. Ed and I will be back next week to talk all the latest in US news and politics. Subscribe wherever you find the podcast and check us out on Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed. The other podcast as well to check out, Pacific Conversations. Dr. David Leaf this week on assisted dying. Our website is edtalks.com.au for plenty more information on that as well.